joy to see all of your faces. We have, I hope, a good worship service in store for us. But before we get there, there are several announcements to make. First and foremostly, thanks to everyone for calling and letting us know which one of the Christmas Eve services you wanted to be a part of. We have made the decision. The number was really tight, and we worried about guests being able to come without having registered. So the decision is made. We will have both services, one at 5:30 and one at 7 o'clock. A concern was raised about turning over the sanctuary that quickly. Because the session has made another decision, which is to end singing until at least the end of the year in the sanctuary, these services won't be tremendously long, but I am looking forward to hearing Charles play a number of Christmas favorites. So whichever service you signed up for, whether that be the 5:30 or the 7, we'll expect to see you then. If you're going to make a change, do let us know, but know that the 5:30 service is getting kind of tight at present. We've got the Angel Tree going on right now. And that's a different format, and I would ask you to look at the e-newsletters for more information on that. Also, we've got a beautiful red rose here to reflect the birth of Indigo Ray Gore. She is the daughter of Mackenzie and Terrell Gore. She was born on Thursday, December the 3rd. Matt and Sandy Thompson are the parents, are the grandparents, and Nancy Thompson is a great-grandparent. Indigo was 6 pounds at birth and 19 and a half inches. So we pray with and for the Gore family as they welcome this new little bundle of joy into their lives, knowing what fun they have lying ahead. Also, the beautiful poinsettias are in the church this morning to the glory of God from Bonnie and Lyle Pace. Those are the announcements I have this morning. Are there any that need to be brought to the congregation's attention at this time? All right, that being the case, we will begin our worship of the Lord.
Our second Advent reading for the second Sunday of Advent comes from Isaiah 40, 3 through 5. A voice of one calling. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Lord, or for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this second Sunday of an Advent, a Sunday that you call us to explore the peace that you provide, we pray that you would allow tranquility to settle deep within our souls as we approach the throne of your grace, O Lord. Be with us in this worship, preparing us hearts, mind, body, and soul for your service, and to know that peace that surpasses all understanding, even in the midst of great strife. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, the Bible teaches us that while we are the forgiven sinners of the world, we are sinners nevertheless. And yet the Bible consistently gives us good news. Draw near to the Lord, and he'll draw near to you. One of the ways that we do that faithful work, that holy and righteous work, is through the confession of our sins. We confess now with a prayer together, and I'll leave time at the end of it for individual confessions of sin before we declare the good news. Let us pray. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we refuse to listen to those who announce your presence. Forgive us when we ignore the cries that come from the wilderness. Allow us to understand that, like John the Baptist, we too are unworthy before the Lord of all. Help us to live into our baptisms. Remind us that the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, and empower us to be the continuation of that gospel message. Amen. Friends, there is, in fact, gospel. There is good news that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because we have faith in him by the power of the Holy Spirit, we do not worry about our todays, our tomorrows, or our eternal futures, because they've been secured by the atoning death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And now at this point, we have a special time for the kids, if they would come down as they are able and find themselves across on our floor to get ready for Mike and I guess myself and me. Oh. Right.
What I want to talk about is two dates that are very important in history that's happening this week. Okay? Very important. We need to remember. Tomorrow is what?
Pearl Harbor Day.
December 7th. Okay? Another very important day in history will be Tuesday, December 8th. Anybody know what that would be? Okay. You won't remember that. All right, I'm going to talk more about the December 8th. Pearl Harbor is very important. I hope y'all will learn that in school this week. And if you don't, and you need to learn more, you know, I'm going to talk to Jeannie Dunn. She was there teaching hula lessons back in 1940. Okay?
You are on fire, Mike.
But on December 8th, the American troops were engaged in a very fierce battle in Europe, very country borderline that the German offensive, the Germans were back, the American troops were back in the Germans, back into Germany. We were winning the battle, and then the winter came. And when the winter came in, that brought rain, fog, snow, cold, bitter cold weather. They were fighting in bitter cold weather, and they're still using their fatigues, what they came in when they invaded Normandy that summer. Well, the German side, we got to make one more last stand for our country. So they moved forward into the Allied line with the American troops, and became what we call the Battle of the Bulge. So, Patton was a general. He needed some help to get to win this war, to put the Germans back into peace. But having said, there was rain, there was fog, there was snow, there was bitter cold weather. Not only did we fight the Germans, we were fighting the weather. Okay? So once they realized they were stalemate, they couldn't move forward, the weather conditions had a problem. Patton needed some help. He needed some divine help. So he came up and asked a minister that was in his troop in the Third Army for prayer. He needed prayer. He needed a prayer to clear the weather. Seemed like a strange prayer, doesn't it? But he needed this, because he needed the clear weather so they could get supplies, get air protection, and get back and push the Germans back into Germany. Okay. So he came up with a minister he went to. His name was James O'Neill. He asked for a prayer. Within an hour, O'Neill had come back with that prayer. And that prayer reads as, let me do the first part. There were two parts of that. When he came back with the prayer, there were two parts. Patton wanted to greet him to the troops, and then on the back of the index card, he wanted the prayer. He sent 250,000 index cards out. They were in the hands of all the soldiers by the 18th, so they could pray. James, you read his orders.
To each officer and soldier in the 3rd United States Army, I wish you a Merry Christmas. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We march in our might to complete victory. May God's blessing rest upon each of you on this Christmas Day. G.S. Patton, Jr., Lieutenant General Commanding, 3rd United States Army.
And the prayer goes like this.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness to retain these immoderate rains with which we have had to contend. Grant us fair weather for battle. Graciously hearken us to as soldiers who call upon thee that, armed with thy power, we may advance from victory to victory and crush the oppression and wickedness of our enemies and establish thy justice among men and nations. Dear God,
thank you for prayers.
Thank you for prayers.
Thank you for answered prayers.
Thank you for answered prayers.
Amen.
Amen. Come now into a time of reading and proclamation of the word, and before we do so, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Join me in prayer. God of all peace and joy, send your spirit to this place to bless the reading of your words and the proclaiming of it, that it may be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'm guessing you do, but do any of you have some what we would call perfect memories of Christmas? I do, as a matter of fact, and it comes from the year 1978, a year that is growing more distant by the minute, isn't it? You see, back in 1978, we had the occasion to go up to Lenore every Christmas Eve, just the day before, for a party at my grandmother Bryant's. It was always a special time. But in 1978, I was still a kid, and I think at points that party was geared to us. You see, we would get there the day before, and my sister and I, the countdown would begin until that party. When the hour struck five, in would stream aunts and uncles, cousins of all shapes, ages, and sizes. The house would soon fill with laughter and merriment. So too would it fill with an awful lot of food. There were cakes and candies and sausage balls. In fact, there were such a wide array of plates around the house that you hardly had to move a foot if you felt yourself need something to nibble on. And oh, there was that punch. A punch that I found out in years following is only the combination of ginger ale and pineapple juice, but I'll tell you, it tasted like the nectar of the gods to a seven-year-old. And my cousins were all around the same age, and we would encamp downstairs in Grandmommy's basement. There we'd play with her dog, Lady, and we'd intersperse in games of hide and seek. But then the magic hour would come. 7 p.m. would come, and up from the basement we'd arise. We'd cramped into Grandmommy's tiny living room around a tinsel silver metallic tree. Do you remember those? There we would get all of the many gifts from the aunts and uncles and cousins of all shapes, ages, and sizes. It was a special time because, unlike my mom's family that tended to be a little bit more practical, my dad's family understood that kids wanted toys on Christmas, so they didn't try to slide us socks or a pair of underwear. It was all about the toys. And that year, the toy that captivated me was a little football player that you set to kick field goals on a plastic field goal marker. I must have played with it until 9 o'clock, until it was time to go home. When I think back on that Christmas in 1978, I realize that it was a blessing. But I confess, sometimes, as we go through different holiday seasons, I can't help but have my mind start to compare. Was this year better? Was this year not as good? It's an understandable human reaction, but it's one that I confess to be very deleterious to my soul and to others. See, when we get into this game of comparison, and we start judging our insides by other people's outsides, or even worse, we start thinking that Bob down the street has a much happier life than myself, then what we find is any semblance of peace disappearing like the mist did this morning when the sun hit it. You see, we yearn for peace. As creatures of God, it is in fact our natural state, but there is so much that interrupts it. We look at a world in which everything seems to be perfect, and if it's not, there's always Photoshop to make it so. We live in a world that's divided, when it's often quite easy to get into arguments with our friends and neighbors. But then at the end of the day, so too do we find ourselves falling short of the mark, not quite being as good or as virtuous as we'd hoped ourselves to be. And through all of these things, what we find is just another small measure of peace being taken from us. So what do we do? How do we establish this peace that surpasses all understanding in such a way as to change our lives and the lives of others around us? Well, I'm going to read two passages right now, one from the Old Testament, one from the New, in which we begin to understand and unravel how we might push the discord and the comparisons and the perfection that we feel burdened with off away and just experience that sweet, soft peace that for many of us comes on Christmas Eve when the children sing Silent Night. I read now from Isaiah, the 11th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots that shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord.
He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and then with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child should put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes to us from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. I'll read verses 25 through 27. These things, Jesus says, I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it was at my maternal grandmother's funeral that I got turned around in St. John's Episcopal Church over there across from Charlotte Country Day School. It's a big church, maybe not as numerous in membership as it once was, but it's unfortunately for someone like myself rather easy to get lost in. I got turned around and found myself coming up a staircase in which there was on the walls of cinder block the most amazing mural. It was just four words, but I found them captivating. They're words that you've heard before, no doubt. It was no, N-O, Jesus, no, N-O, peace, comma, no, K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O-W, peace. No, Jesus, no, peace. No, Jesus, no, peace. It struck me as odd. It's the kind of particular declaration of Christ's sovereignty that is oftentimes lost now in mainline denominational churches. There is, you see, something particular about Jesus Christ. There is something that shines and with the irrepressible light of God and emanates with that tranquility and that peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, I still find it interesting to be up here and realize that the hardest thing in the world, the thing that I try to hold on to the most, is peace. That's a far cry from when I was 23 or 24, when the club with its band and its chatter would captivate my heart. But now, my favorite moments are those peaceful moments when I nestle into bed with a book, the children asleep and thus okay, and all is well with the world. You know, peace has this ability to transform us and change us if we'll let it. You know, it's interesting, the Holy Spirit must be involved, that Mike talked about the Battle of the Bulge, because just yesterday I had the opportunity to read a firsthand account of somebody who was there. It's someone you might have heard of, Captain or Major, I think, Winters, who was a commander of Easy Company, a group of paratroopers that were there at Bastogne as the Germans who surrounded them advanced in. It was, by all accounts, a tremendously difficult 30-day bombardment. And years, this memory has stuck with so many of the guys. And yet what Lieutenant Winters found was that once the shelling had subsided, he was able to get a pass, and he found himself in England, where what he concerned himself most was not the goings-on in London or even reading about his comrades still on the line. He instead found himself day after day in the Bible, day after day heading to a little small church there in Aldbourne, England. And he says in remarks in his book that it was a different kind of experience. Having been through the horrors of war, he didn't need theology. He didn't need someone to tell him about atonement theory. All he wanted, all he craved, was knowledge of the Lord. The knowledge that Isaiah talks about at the end of our passage from Isaiah 11. The knowledge of the Lord covering the earth like the sea. And thankfully for Lieutenant Winters, he found that. And he said that he emerged from that experience of peace of the Lord different. That he still had fears, that combat was certainly still nothing that he looked forward to. But yet there in the word read and proclaimed, he had found a peace that simply could not be taken from him, no matter what the Germans lobbed at him. That's the kind of peace that I want. That's the kind of peace that you desire, that these things of the world that give so differently to us than Jesus Christ, they rob from us day after day as we worry and fret and fear. Because you see, the truth of that sign remains in my heart as it is lodged in yours as well, that when we know Jesus Christ, we do, in fact, know a wonderful, wonderful peace. And we know it because we know at some level we're simply not perfect. That marker is so far from us that we ought not shoot for it, and yet we do. But when we know Jesus, we recognize something so substantially accurate. We recognize that we're not going to be perfect. I'm certainly not. That's probably the understatement of 2020. But because I know Jesus, I know that there is one who came to deliver me. There's one who established the contours of my relationship with God. And that one was Jesus, who was himself perfect to the will of the Father. You know, we catch a thread of this. It's a reading we typically have more frequently in the Lenten season than the Advent one. But there is a moment. There is a place, the Garden of Gethsemane, where you get the sense that Jesus desperately wanted to not do the will of his Father. It's as he waits for arrest and the crucifixion that will come. We pick up this passage in Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 36. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." There at the turning point of the cosmos, Jesus Christ was able to remain faithful to the Father. And because he was able to remain faithful to the Father, we know he accepted upon himself an innocent man's sentence, a guilty man's sentence, even though he was innocent. And in that act, we know two things: that the power and hold of sin over our lives is broken, and that we too can live more righteous lives. For he himself kept our sin in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And so when we get to those moments where we realize that perhaps we're not up to the measure, the mark of perfection, that we've failed and fallen short of the glory of God, by knowing Jesus Christ, by knowing the salvation he brought, we know peace. We have no fear of God, for he has been fully reconciled to us again by his Son. Peace with God is but one thing, peace within another. Peace within comes when we realize that the God who went through all of this for us did so because of his nature, which is to love, which is to forgive, which is to cherish. We pick this up in so many places in the Word, but more as a distillate, John 3:17. "For God did not send the Son into the world, condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." We know that the God values us. He's created us. And then in the life of his son, he taught us so much. In Mark, in Matthew, we hear this. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. As I think of that word and think of myself balding, I'm grateful that God might know the numbers of hairs that I still have left. And he does so because he values me just as he values you. You are his beloved children, and there is a peace that not can ever be robbed for you. In Scripture, Jesus tells us, fear not the people that can kill the body, because he knows that even our bodies are loved in such a way that in the future they'll be restored, spiritually perfect. And so we find peace with God. We find peace within in that surety of our forgiveness and our salvation. We find peace as we move further and further away from sin, enabled singularly by the Holy Spirit. But perhaps most of all, after a brutal political season, what we can encounter in Jesus Christ, what we can know with a K-N-O-W, is peace with other people. And the reason is the same. That we may disagree with them politically, morally, philosophically, you name it, that at the end of the day, they're as much a child of God as you are and I are. And that just as you and I fail and fall short of the glory of God, so too do they. And what we find in that is the forgiveness that Jesus Christ tells us to do. Ephesians 4:32, Paul writes, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Jesus himself says it in the Sermon on the Mount in 6:14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. You see, what we find is that when we encounter that knowledge of Jesus and we hear his admonitions in his word and through his red letter words to let go of the slings of the or the arrows of the past that have been shot at you, then what we find is ourselves and our mental energy reblossoming. It takes an awful lot of mental energy to resent somebody. And yet when that peace, that forgiveness reaches into our hearts, we find our mental energy returning, not wrapped up with racing thoughts of what happened, what could have been said, or the revenge we'd like to exact. See, in that moment, as the resentment, as the ill will goes away, we get another glimpse of that peace of Jesus Christ. But perhaps best of all, what we encounter in Jesus Christ and his knowledge is certainly peace from our fears. This has been a tough year. This has been a tough year on a lot of people in a lot of different ways. COVID has robbed us of so many things. We're concerned about what could be. So it's only understandable that we get wrapped up in our anxieties and perhaps make poor decisions. But Jesus Christ teaches us that we can cast all of our anxieties on him. We can even release that one fear that goes bump in the night a lot of times. And that's the fear of what will happen to us after we die. Because we know, don't we? We know that this life is but the beginning of an eternal life which will come to pass when the trumpet calls and Jesus Christ comes again in glory. You see, when Jesus returns, the Bible is very clear. We're not going to be spirits off chasing stars in the cosmos. We are going to be fully incarnate bodies, you and I, except removed from the potentiality of sin, which means, dear friends, we'll know our brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll know our loved ones. We'll experience the full freedom of the kingdom, a place of peace. A place where kids play with poisonous snakes and cows graze peacefully among foxes. It's a place so fantastic and so wonderful, so removed from any worry, fear, anxiety, or things that go bump in the night, friends, that we will know the peace that we can experience here through Jesus Christ into eternity. You know, I had a moment this morning. It was interesting. I was here by myself in the sanctuary waiting for our team to come and start setting up. And it was here in this place seeing the cross that I knew, though I was but a sinner, I was a forgiven one. I know that because Jesus Christ didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save the unrighteous. I knew in my heart that whatever troubled me, I could seek reconciliation. I could find in the Holy Spirit the power to forgive both myself and others. And there was a peace in that. And then, dear friends, being in the Father's house, being in this sanctuary adorned for the Christmas season that lies ahead, there it was. That peace that surpasses all understanding. And it began simply because God revealed to me Jesus Christ, and I knew him. And I know what he's done for me, and I know how to forgive others. And best of all, I know how to love. I know how to love because I'm a child of the Father. The Father who in his love created all things. The Son who in his love saved all things. And the Spirit in whose love vivifies and brings alive all things. Friends, we can have peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with others, and peace with our fears. All we got to do is know Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting that we turn our attention to lifting up our prayers of intercession and supplication. We Christians believe that we pray to a God that not only hears our prayers, but does indeed respond. And so we pray with boldness, don't we? Asking for those things that weigh upon our hearts, those fears and worries that sometimes don't go away until the Spirit descends with the peace that we so desperately need. So let us this morning unburden our hearts. Let us reach deep within us to give up all the things that bind us to this world, all the things that weigh us down with worries and cares, so that we might taste and know that the Lord is good. Join me now in prayer. Heavenly Father, you indeed are good. You indeed are sovereign and omnipotent. You hear our prayers and have the ability to answer them because you are God. Heavenly Father, we come before you today as your children, children who have things that they need and desire. While you know what we really need, we bring to you those things that make us believe that we need them, and at times, oh Lord, we do. We need peace, we need hope, we need joy, and we certainly need love.
And more than any of that, what we need is Jesus Christ, the one who came to save us, the one who came to surrender his life so that we might live not only in this time and place, but throughout all eternity. And so, Heavenly Father, we think today of the peoples whose lives are jeopardized, either by COVID or by other illnesses. We just ask that you heal up their bodies. Where there are pains or aches or sores, we just ask that your wonderful balm of Gilead comes upon them all, bringing relief and calm and comfort. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who find themselves in this holiday season troubled either in mind or in soul. Relieve their fears, extinguish their addictions, cover them with that peace that surpasses all understanding so that they know of their infinite value, of their ultimate worth made possible in and through Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray for people who are recovering from surgery, thinking, of course, of Jimmy McClure. Oh, Lord, we pray for him, for the healing of his body, just as we pray for all the members of this congregation who are sick, grieving, lonely, or anxious. We pray for those who stand at the precipice of the kingdom, just asking that in their final days or hours that you would give them all a measure of certainty, that certainty that comes only through Jesus Christ and his knowledge, that everything for us and for our salvation has been accomplished by him, and that we simply enjoy the fruits of his atoning work. Heavenly Father, we pray for Indigo Ray, and just ask that you bless her life with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Be with Mackenzie and Terrell. Allow them that energy that they'll need for a newborn. Keep her safe. Keep her surrounded by love and surrounded by this church. Heavenly Father, we pray. We pray for the holiday season to be blessed by you. We pray for our services on Christmas Eve to be coming to pass. But most of all, we pray to know you, Jesus Christ, the one in whose knowledge we receive so many things, grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy, peace upon peace. And we make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of his coming kingdom, a kingdom that you tell us is going to be so replete with peace that adders will play with infants. We make them all, concluding with the prayer he taught us praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, at this point, if it were a routine service, we would have a wonderful musical piece and pass the plates. But as we're trying to maintain social distance, we will not be doing so. But please do know that the Lord still loves a cheerful giver and that we have boxes up front and one on the way out for you to continue your faithfulness in giving to this church and to the causes it supports. Friends, it's my prayer to know Jesus today, just as my prayer for myself extends to all of you and all of the people in the world. When you discover a peace this wonderful, a serenity that's so calming as to change your life like it did Lieutenant Winters, you want to go out and tell people about it, don't you? And the only way to do that is to share Jesus so that the knowledge of him who is the Prince of Peace would expand throughout this entire world. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen. That concludes our service of worship this morning. Please be mindful of social distancing out on the way out, and I'll be up front if any of you would like to chat. God bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday, if not sooner.